this morning. Thank you for letting me be gone last week. I had the privilege of baptizing my oldest granddaughter last week at her church, and that's always a special time. I told the crowd Wednesday night, Chrisley was baptized. She brought about 25 people to watch her get baptized. She brought her whole softball team. She brought friends in her neighborhood. She brought the coach from her old team she played with last year. She brought the coach of her new team she's playing with next year. She just brought half a church full to watch her get baptized. So that was, I think I enjoyed watching her do that more than I did even being able to baptize her. But that's where I was last week, and I appreciate Richard filling in. And I heard the old fella preached a pretty good sermon. What about it, did he? I mean, I think he can. Richard just needs to get a little more excited when he preaches and does. Even during the announcements, he almost needed to give an invitation after he gave the announcements this morning. But anyway, thank you, Richard, for doing that. I also want to say to you as a church, I got a phone call this past week from Andy Childs. And that name might not mean anything to you, but Andy works for our Georgia Baptist Mission Board. And I thought it was kind of unusual that he was calling me. I had no clue why. After we talked for just a moment, he said, I hear that you're doing the interim at Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. And I said, well, I certainly am. And we talked about you for a few minutes, and we talked about the area. And then he said, well, let me tell you why I'm calling. He said, I just wanted to call to thank you and ask you to thank the church. This past year that your church, this church, was in the top 25 churches in the Georgia Baptist Convention in giving to state missions. And he was calling the number one, acknowledge that on your behalf, and also asked me to say to you, thank you for your support. And my response to him was, this church is a very giving, generous church. So thank you for your faithful giving. I want you to know that those in our Georgia Baptist Convention appreciate that and acknowledge that also. Well, if you have your Bibles, go with me. You can open to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1, and just hold your finger there for a moment. It'll be a few minutes before we get there. For the last few weeks, we've been in a series of messages entitled Listen. And the purpose of these messages is to help us listen to the voice of God. And 2 weeks ago and this morning, I'm going to continue it. We talked about specifically how to listen to a sermon. Because really, a sermon is taking God's word to us and helping those who listen to better understand it. So how to listen to a sermon. And 2 weeks ago, I shared three key words and three key statements to you that need to be true in our life if we're going to properly listen to what God has to say to us. And here are the three words, attitude. And I said we must have the right attitude about the Word of God. And the right attitude is this. We have to have an exalted view of the Word of God. It is His Word. And any time His Word is read, spoken, preached, God is speaking to us through His Word. And if you don't have such an attitude of the high importance of God's Word, you're going to miss what God has to say to you. So that's number one, attitude. Number two is appreciate. We must appreciate the value of God's Word to our lives. Great value, great spiritual treasure can be found by us through the Word of God that God has given to us. And then the third word was the word affirm. And I shared with you that we must affirm the messenger of God's Word if we're going to be able to properly listen to a message. In fact, in order for us to listen and receive from a sermon what God would have for us to receive, we have to affirm the messenger of God's Word to His people. It is very unlikely that you will ever hear what God wants you to hear. I'm going to talk more about that this morning. But you won't hear what God wants you to hear from the preaching and teaching of His Word if you do not have such affirmation of the messenger. And by the way, the Scriptures teach that to be true. In fact, I read a couple of verses to you 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to repeat those this morning. But I do want to read one other verse as I was going back over this past week. I was reminded of what it said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. And Paul's writing this to the church that he called a model church, those who had received God's word in a proper way. This is what he admonished them. But we ask you, brothers and sisters, to recognize those who diligently labor among you and are in leadership over you in the Lord. That would be the elders and the pastors of the church. And give you instruction, and that you regard them very highly in love because of their work. Now I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. King James Version puts it this way: esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And if you're going to hear what God has you to hear in a message, you've got to esteem those who proclaim it to you. And I think it's an important thing for you to remember as you're in the process of calling a new gentleman to be the senior pastor of this church. God will use him to speak to you, but you have to affirm that position and that ministry that God has given to him. He's not perfect. He won't be perfect. But God has called him. He will call him to be here. And he's called you to be in submission to those who lead you and teach you. And you'll never get from God what you need to get from God if you don't affirm that messenger. Well, that week I focused more on some important truths that we need to remember. This morning I want to be real practical and giving you some help and how to listen to a sermon. In fact, the subtitle of this message this morning would be this: Practical Helps for Listening to a Sermon. There is nothing profound about what I'm going to say to you this morning. By the way, I've been here a year. I ain't told you anything profound yet. I probably won't. I don't do that. But I want to bring this just down simple to make it helpful. And if you're going to get something out of a message, a Bible study, even your own personal time of reading God's Word, these are just some very simple, practical helps that you got to remember. There's five of them this morning, so let me jump in there real quick. Number one this morning, you and I must listen. We must listen with a prepared soul. A prepared soul, S-O-U-L. In other words, your soul has to be prepared if you're going to properly listen to a sermon, a Bible study, or even if you come to God's Word on your own. Most churchgoers assume that when it comes to listening to the sermon, the activity starts when the pastor stands up, opens his mouth, and starts to speak. But can I say to you this morning that for you to hear what God wants you to hear, you need to get ready a long time before that pastor stands in this pulpit to preach. You've got to get yourself ready. On the one hand, I hope you've prayed for that pastor. Hey, he's here to lead you. He's here to guide you. He's here to take God's word and open it for you. Do you understand, and maybe you don't, and maybe you have to be a pastor to understand the burden of this. Do you understand the responsibility that a man has to stand before a multitude like this, open God's holy word, and properly exposit it to God's people? What a privilege that is. But ladies and gentlemen, what an unbelievable challenge that is. What an unbelievable responsibility that is. And you know, it's amazing to me, and I've seen it in my own life, and I've certainly seen it from other people. You ought to have been praying for that pastor who's about to preach to you a long time before you ever show up here. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm saying this to make a point this morning. How many of you, before you came to church this morning, prayed for me as I'm standing here preaching God's word? How many of you said, Lord, would you bless Brother Ken? Would you anoint his words? Would you guide what he needs to say? God, would you fill him full of his spirit? Lord, would you help him be clear in what needs to be said? You know, it might surprise you if you prayed for your preacher how much better he gets all of a sudden. That's how you have to prepare your soul. And then as you're thinking about coming to church and as you're here and the word is being preached, I think there's some things that you need to ask. Really, three very important questions you need to ask yourself before you even listen to a sermon to make sure your soul is prepared. Number one, is my sin list confessed up to date? Is my sin list, or you could ask it this way, have I dealt with my sin? Well, preacher, I ain't got no sins I got to deal with. Really? Really? Do you realize what happens when you sin as a believer and you don't deal with it? Your heart gets hardened. Your ears become deaf. Your spirit is insensitive to God's spirit. And that's why when you do wrong, when you sin as a believer, and we all do, and the Holy Spirit convicts you, you have to get it right. You will never be able to hear what God has to say to you if your heart's not right with God. And if your heart's not right with God, boy, when the word does come, it's just going to bounce off your heart, spiritual heart. Is my sin list confessed up to date? Isaiah writes about this. He wrote to a people who couldn't hear God because of sin in their life. Isaiah 1, verses 15 to 17, verses 18 to 20. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, God is speaking here. I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply your prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourself, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. And then God says this, boy, I love these verses. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. And though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. A little bit later on in this book of we call Isaiah, in the 59th chapter, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah goes on to write these words. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that he cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities, your sin, have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. And the same thing is true about you listening to God speak. Until you get your heart right, you're not going to hear him. In fact, I think at that point in time, until we get our hearts right, the only thing God's going to say to us is get right. And until you do, he's not going to say anything else to you. So what do we need to do? We need to be like King David. David wrote in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. I love these verses. Boy, I've had to remember them and quote them and claim them often over the years. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful, evil way in me, and lead me in your way everlasting. And if God does point out something in your heart that's not right, and he often will, what do we do with that? Well, John tells us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that verse is in the Bible? Well, I am. Your heart's got to be prepared before you come listening to a sermon. And you have to make sure your sin list is up to date. Secondly, you need to ask this question, am I right with my fellow man? Am I right with my fellow man? You and I cannot expect to hear God speak to us if we're at odds with other people. Now remember, the Christian life really has a twofold expression to it. It has a vertical expression where I'm made right with God. It has a horizontal relationship or aspect to it where I'm right with other people. If I'm right with God, the evidence is going to be I'm right with those around me. And if I'm not right with other people, those around me, then that's only evidence that I'm not right with God. So in other words, you can't come to a Bible study, you can't come to a sermon and expect to hear from God if you're at odds with your brother or your sister. I'm not just talking about blood, brother or sister, other people. Jesus once said this, Matthew 6, 14 and 15, for if you forgive others their transgressions, your Father, Heavenly Father, will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And if you've got odd in your heart towards somebody else, unforgiveness, bitterness, wrath, all those things, you're not forgiven. And if you're not forgiven, there's no way you can hear from God. You've got to make sure you're right with those around you. I think I shared this. If I haven't, I'll tell it real quick again. But I remember one church. See, I won't tell you what church. You might know the church. You might know the brothers. But I remember one church that I pastored. There were two blood brothers, longtime members of the community, longtime members of that church, that something happened along the way in a business activity, and they got mad at each other, and they literally, for years on years and years, in and out, they would come to church, sit almost in the same area, never speak to one another, never shake hands to one another, never say a word to each other. And they were coming to worship. You think they heard anything from God? By the way, both of those men were two of the most bitter men I knew. You can't expect to hear from God if you've got hatred in your heart towards another person. Unforgiveness. Well, preacher, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. If your heart's not right towards your fellow man, your heart's not right with God. Is my sin list confessed up to date? Am I right with God? And here's the third question you need to ask yourself in making your soul ready. Am I ready to hear God speak? Once I've got my sin confessed up to date, once I'm sure I'm right with my fellow man, then I must come to the worship service or the Bible study or my personal time alone with God, ready and expecting God to speak to my heart. Again, don't raise your hand. This is just for you to ponder a moment. How many of you came to church today excited, expecting to hear God say something to you? Well, I'll go sit through the service, I guess. And then you walk out and you wonder why you get anything out of it. Hey, folks, I found out a long time ago, you come expecting God to speak, he's generally going to speak. Now, you might not like what he tells you. In fact, some people don't want to hear God speak because they know what God's going to tell them. They don't want to hear it. Amen or oh me? Do you come expecting God to speak to you? There's a long story. I'm not going to read it. It's found in 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 to 11. I mentioned this too. Weeks ago, it's a story about Samuel when he was a small boy. Eli was teaching young Samuel how to listen to the voice of God. You remember Samuel went to bed, and a couple times during the night, he heard a voice calling his name, Samuel, Samuel. He came, he finally woke up Eli and told him what was going on. And Eli had enough spiritual discernment about him that he told young Samuel, Samuel, that's God speaking to you. The next time you hear him call you, what you need to say is, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And sure enough, when the voice came again to Samuel, Samuel did exactly like Eli told him. And he said to him, Lord, speak to me, for your servant is listening. And if you know anything about the life of Samuel, God used him greatly over the years of his life in Old Testament times. But folks, that's got to be the attitude of our heart. When you walk in here on Sunday morning, regardless of who's in this pulpit, when you go to a Sunday school class, a Bible study class, when you go to your own time alone with God, where you open the Word, the attitude of our heart has to be, Lord, speak to me, for your servant is listening. And you know what? When that's the attitude of your heart, it might surprise you what you start to hear. How to listen to a sermon? You and I must listen with a prepared soul. Number two this morning, not only must we listen with a prepared soul, we must listen with an alert mind. We must listen with an alert mind. Now listen carefully. It is a fact that preaching and teaching appeals, first of all, to our minds. In fact, for it to be heard, received, and processed in our spirit, it first has to go through our minds. It's through our minds that we receive God's word, first of all, into our hearts. So our minds must be prepared and alert in order to receive what God wants to say to us. Paul wrote Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, two of my very favorite verses of Scripture in the Bible. He writes these words, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren and sister and ladies, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." You could put it this way. That's the least you could do. That's the very basic. Present yourself as a sacrifice to God. That's where everything else flows from. First things first. And then he says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed," how? "By the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." It is by the renewing of the mind that God does his transforming work in our hearts and in our lives. And the truth of the matter is, it is only the transformed mind that can understand and receive God's word to us, whether it is preached or whether it is read. My natural mind cannot conceive or understand God's word. It takes a transformed mind in order to do that. It's interesting, in the Greek text, this word "renewed" used here by Paul in Romans 12 is a compound word, two words. One word means back or again. The second word is new. That's where we get the word "renewed mind." A renewed mind, then, is to adjust one's spiritual thinking to the mind of God, which then has a new transforming effect on our lives. And if my mind is alert, if my mind has been renewed, if it is in that renewed state, I am alert for God to speak to me, and hearing him, it then transforms my heart and my life. One person framed it this way once when they said, "A renewed mind is concerned with those issues of life that have lasting importance. By nature of thoughts, our thoughts dwell on the fleeting present. But that which passes quickly is normally inconsequential. As Paul explained in 2 Corinthians 4:18, what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." The renewed mind enables us to discern the will of God. Released from the control of this world around us, we can come to know what God has in mind for us. Now, that's a profound statement, if you stop and think about it. Hey, folks, when we listen to a sermon, our renewed minds need to be fully engaged. That means we are to be attentive, which requires self-discipline. I mean, all of our minds tend to wander at times. We all daydream at times. We think about what we're going to have at lunch, or what we're going to do this afternoon, or what time the ball game comes on. But if our minds are alert, we have to focus our minds and our thinking on what God is speaking to us and on what God is trying to say to us. In fact, I'd say this to you this morning. Intently listening to the sermon from God's word should be a part of the worship that we offer God. And folks, we should not insult his majesty by looking at other people around us, thinking about the upcoming week, or entertaining any of a thousand other thoughts that often a crowded mind will consider. God is speaking through his word, and we should be alert to listen. That takes focusing our minds on what he is saying to us in that given moment. And that's the least you ought to do if you're really giving God the worship he's deserving and that honors him. That's one of the reasons that I encourage people to take notes. Pen in hand with paper. Somewhere to write. The reason we go to the trouble that, at least I don't know what your previous pastor did. I don't know what your newest pastor will do. It's one of the reasons we do the notes. This doesn't just happen automatically. It takes me time to put this together. It means I have to do my sermon early to get it to those here, to get all this stuff up here for you. But it's worth it because it helps you to understand it. That's why we put it in your bulletin with at least a little place you can write some notes. We leave a few words blank, so you'll have to listen to write the notes. All those things are intended to cause you to be alert and to listen to what God is saying to you. It is something that we do not just to fill up a bulletin on Sunday morning. It's intended to help you be able to listen. And the art, the physical art of writing something down, helps you to listen more carefully and then to fix it deeply in your minds. Don't let your mind wander. Give God this hour. Dedicate your thoughts to him, expecting him to speak to you. You and I must listen with a prepared soul. We must listen with an alert mind. Thirdly, this morning, we must listen with an open Bible. Oh my. We must listen to a sermon with an open Bible. Many years ago when I was pastoring in South Georgia, Southwest Georgia, I was asked to teach one of our older men's Sunday school class for a number of weeks. The teacher of that class had become ill, and they knew he was going to be out for a period of time, so they came and asked me if I would fill in for him, which I was glad to do. The name of the class, I never will forget it, it was the Baraka class. I think that's the name out of Acts, I believe, Baraka. I kindly and kiddingly call them the Barracuda class. That was more accurate than Baraka. But anyway, I went in to teach that group of men. Most of these men had been in that church all their life. I walked in on Sunday morning, had 11 men in my Sunday morning Bible study class. You know how many of them had a Bible? One. One out of 11 came to a Bible study class, and only one had a Bible. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you study the Bible without studying the Bible? I ask you the same question this morning. Too many churchgoers pretend they think they know the Bible so well, they don't need to look at a passage when the preacher is preaching it. Or maybe you think, since the pastor is going to read the scriptures, assuming that he will, you don't need your Bible in order to follow along with him. Or maybe here as a church, you are spoiled because Brother Tom puts the verses up here on the screen. And you think, well, I don't need it because Tom's going to put it up here on the screen. But folks, can I just say to you this morning, and I'm trying to make light of what I think is a very serious need. It's really not wise to do so. It only stands to profit the most for us. We stand to profit the most from sermons when our Bibles are open, not closed. And I can't think of anything I'd rather hear on Sunday morning than the sound of pages turning as people are opening their Bible to look at what God has to say to them. And folks, there's another reason why it's important that you keep your Bibles open while the preacher is preaching. And here it is. I mentioned it 2 weeks ago. You need to make sure what the pastor is saying is in keeping with what the Bible says. Yes, you need to affirm God's messenger as he preaches God's word. But folks, because all such messengers are human and capable of misunderstanding and misrepresenting God's word, it is our responsibility as a believer to make sure what we are hearing preached and taught is straight from the word of God. And you can't do that if your Bible is closed. Amen? Acts 17:11. We read these verses a couple of weeks ago. The brethren in Berea. Boy, I love these verses. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away at night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. You remember Paul thought of the Thessalonian believers as a model church. But these in Berea were even more noble-minded, and this is the reason for it. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I mean, as these Berean brothers heard God's word, they examined it. They received it with great eagerness, but they examined it to make sure what they were being taught was true, and their teacher was Paul. And here Luke's commending them. I would imagine, the text doesn't say, but I would imagine Paul commended them for doing that. Hey, if I'm teaching truth, when you're following along and checking me out, it's only going to build you up more. If I'm not teaching truth, hey, it ought to sound an alarm in you. That's your responsibility. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul writes and he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. And here's what he says to do, handling accurately the word of truth. Hey, folks, let me just tell you today, you know this. You have been blessed. Most of you who have been here a long time, you've been blessed to be in a church that was a strong Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. But can I just tell you, it's not like this everywhere. In fact, today, in our day and age, it's amazing what people follow. Too many people follow preachers who just share some feel-good, cotton-candy, psycho-babble talk instead of taking God's word and speaking it directly to the heart. The Bible warns us, the time will come when preachers will depart from the faith. There'll be those who won't listen to the truth. They don't want the truth. They'll find somebody to tickle their ears. And believe me, there's a lot of preachers out there tickling ears. But the only reason there are preachers out there tickling ears is because there are church members out there that want their ears tickled. Instead of listening to the truth. Let me tell you what. Again, I know enough about your church to know this has been the history of this church. You ought to thank God that God's allowed you to be in a church, that pastor stands up here to preach you God's word, and that's his heart. And that's what your pastor search committee is looking for too, by the way. You and I must listen with a prepared soul, with an alert mind. We must listen with an open Bible. Fourthly, it's more, and I'll finish these other two quickly. You and I must listen with a receptive heart. Receptive heart. It's one thing to read, hear, and listen to God's word being preached and taught. But it is quite another thing to receive God's word. But if we are to listen to a sermon as God intends for us to listen, we must be willing to receive what we hear from God when he speaks. And folks, listen to me. Something important takes place in the heart, in our lives, when we hear God's word properly and we receive God's word. Well, all of a sudden, through the inward ministry of the Holy Spirit, God takes his word, he uses it to calm our fears, to comfort our sorrows, to disturb our consciences, to expose our sin, to instruct us in His grace, to ground us in truth, to reassure our faith. And He uses it to do a host of other things. But in order for God to be able to do that, you have to be able to receive what He's saying to you. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 and 7, Paul writes to these Thessalonian believers, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word." Received the word. James 1:21 says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Hey, you must be willing to receive what God says to you as you hear His message being preached. You know, it's all too easy to hear a sermon and think to yourself, or maybe even say to somebody, "I sure do wish Brother Joe or Sister Sally had been here to hear that message. I sure do wish my husband, my wife, my child, my parent could hear what the preacher had to say today." Well, you know, that may well be that they needed to hear it. But let me ask you, what did God say to you? What did God say to you? Did you receive what you needed to hear? I never will forget a man in my first church I pastored. My first church I pastored was in the middle rolling hills of central Tennessee. I pastored up there in those hollows. Buddy, that was a trip, I just have to tell you. And I met some interesting people there, to say the least. One such gentleman was a man by the name of Paul Allen. Mr. Paul was in his late 80s, maybe pushing 90, the time I was his pastor. I can remember going to visit with him at times, and he'll tell me about going to church in a horse-drawn wagon. This is before they even had a car, down roads that we drove on that were paved, that were dirt roads. He was an interesting guy to listen to. He lived in an old farmhouse with his wife, who was bedridden. In fact, I don't think the entire time I was there she ever came to church. I saw her at their home, but I don't remember ever seeing her in church because she was homebound. And he also lived with his wife's two old maid sisters who had never married. Mr. Paul was a very quiet man, very polite, very nice gentleman, very interesting to talk with, but he was very quiet. It hit me one day why he was so quiet. Do I need to say what I'm thinking? One particular Sunday, and this was so unlike this man, I don't remember what I preached on. I don't remember what the topic was, but it was one of those Sundays I just let the church have it. I mean, both barrels. It was hard. It was strong. I let them have it. I'm standing at the back, as I normally did at that church, greeting people as they left. And people came by and shook hands, and folks always said various things. But I never will forget that morning Mr. Paul came by. He grabbed me by the hand. He shook it. He said these words, "Preacher, that was a really good sermon this morning. Ben Jones sure did need to hear it." And he dropped my hand, turned around, walked out. Do you know what I think most of our problem is with church? And why we don't see a lot of fruit from our lives, spiritual fruit? Because too many people sit through a message and they walk out going, "Boy, Ben Jones really needed to hear that." Instead of saying, "What did God say to me?" Folks, I got news for you. This isn't about Ben Jones. This is about you. If you want God to change you, You want God to revolutionize your life? You want God to do a deep work in you? Just simply say, God, what are you saying to me? What did you say? I've got to be willing to receive what God has to say to me. Here's the last thing, and I'll finish with this. You and I must listen with a prepared soul, with an alert mind, an open Bible, a receptive heart. And fifthly, this morning, you and I must listen with an obedient will. This is where the rubber hits the road. Listen carefully. The proof that I have received God's word, whether it's from a sermon, a Bible lesson, a devotion, or just reading his word, the proof that we have received his word is that we obey what he says. And if you don't put it to obedience, you didn't hear anything. You didn't receive a thing. And folks, I just got to be honest with you. God doesn't speak to us to entertain us. He doesn't speak to you to ask your opinion about matters. He doesn't check in with you to see what you want. God speaks, we must obey. And the proof that we've really heard the Lord Jesus is, what am I doing with it? I'll finish with these two verses. Well, I'm not through, but I'll finish. How about that? James 1, verses 21 to 25. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude, or the word probably would be better translated there, deceive themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man, the man who obeys God's word, this man will be blessed in whatever he does. And by the way, folks, I don't know why I need to say this, but the Lord just really put it in my heart. Just the opposite is true of a person who doesn't obey. They will be blessed in nothing they do. You want God's blessing in your life? And I don't know who it is in here this morning needs to hear this, but somebody does. You want God to bless you? Then obey God. And until you do, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your breath. God is speaking to you so that you will obey him. The proof that you've received what he had to say will be your obedience. Jesus preached the greatest sermon ever known, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. He's finishing his sermon. This is his closing statements. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, obeys them, they may be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And that's the end of the sermon. Nothing else needed to be said. If you've really received God's word, the proof will be your obedience. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you for the privilege that we've had to gather here as a church to once again worship. Boy, how sweet that was this morning. Through singing, through music, through fellowship. Lord, now we've heard your word. Thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you that you're a God who wants to speak to your people. Thank you that you enable us by your Spirit to be able to hear you speak. But Lord, help us to be able to receive what you have to say to us. Help us to put in obedience, to obey your law. I wonder this morning who's here. God's been speaking to you about something for maybe a long period of time and you've not obeyed him. Maybe there's a relationship you need to get right that you've refused to do so, and God's spoken to you about that time and time and time again. You just refuse to deal with it. Will you obey him this morning? Will you commit yourself to be obedient to God and get that right, at least as far as you're concerned, do your part? Somebody here, maybe who is a believer, you know that you're supposed to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. For whatever reason, you've not done that. Maybe it's been out of fear. Maybe it's been out of a host of things. But if you're truly his child and you know you need to follow him in baptism, maybe today you need to come and just say, I need to follow the Lord. I need to be obedient to the Lord and follow him in baptism. Maybe for someone else that's in the area of giving, and God's dealt with you about that over and over again, you know what his word teaches, but you've not obeyed. Would you obey him today? Maybe the Lord's put somebody on your heart that you need to share the gospel with. You've not been obedient. You feel bad about it. But folks feeling bad about it doesn't correct it. Will you receive what the Lord says to you today? Will you obey him? Lord, I pray that you'll help us to do that. We recognize it's only by your Spirit, only by your strength, that you enable us to be able to obey you. But Lord, obey you we must. For that person that might be here today who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, oh Lord, even now as you knock on their heart's door, would you draw them to yourself? Would you give them what they need to be able to step out in faith and receive your gift of salvation this day? And if that's you this morning, as we stand and sing in a moment, would you come and just say to me, Brother Ken, I need to give my life to Jesus. And we'll have somebody share with you today how you can get saved, how you can come to Jesus, how you can be promised the forgiveness of your sin and eternal life in heaven through God's only Son, Jesus Christ. Would you come to him this morning? Lord, help us all as we obey you today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as Mark comes to lead us in our singing? You respond this morning during this invitation as God has spoken to your heart.